I praise God for another year and another year where I have an opportunity to preach the word of God to you, and I wish on behalf of the church a blessed 2024 to all of you in and through our Lord Jesus Christ. For in our practice, I think I mentioned yesterday that we abbreviate all our practices in an abbreviation called TIP, right? We thank God. That's a duty that Word of God commands us to do. Not only during New Year, but every now and then we'll have to thank God. That's what we've done last Friday. We've thanked God. We've looked at all the blessings and we've thanked God. And especially New Year time, we in Tamil service, you know, because we give an opportunity for people to come forward and share their, you know, thanksgiving. So that's an activity that we actively need to be engaged. And secondly, we also introspect. Somebody said the introspection was very heavy, Pastor. Very heavy introspection. Yeah, I understand it's been heavy. It's been heavy even for me. But, you know, that's what the deeper you dig, right? The more fruitful you become and more solid you become for the new year, you know. You can be all superficial and say everything is good, but digging is important and, you know, plowing a field is important. And so yesterday was the introspection message. Consider your ways, what God has been telling us in 2023, not only through His Word, but looking at our life, right? Looking at the circumstances and struggles. What is God communicating to us? It's so important. And today we come to focusing on the last aspect of our New Year responsibility, which is resolution and planning, right? Resolution and planning. Here we are in a new year, 2024, and I want to talk about two things. First one is the new year resolution, and then the planning for the new year. We know many people are taking resolutions today. People have taken resolutions yesterday. Some are taking resolutions that they will exercise more, that they will diet more, right? And they will be very kind to their wives and their children. And they will be more patient. They will have family time. Right? All those resolutions are being taken. But the question is the resolution biblical? Right? Does Bible call us to take resolutions? Are we supposed to make resolutions? I would say yes. Right? Surely yes. Because we see godly men taking resolutions. Right? For example, David in Psalms, many a places he says, I will continue to praise the Lord. I will be blameless. And he says, he takes resolutions. And we see Paul taking resolutions. In fact, we took from Philippians a few years ago and took Paul's verse in Philippians where he said, "I this one thing I do, I leave what is behind and I press forward. And my resolution is that I want to know Him. I want to know Christ." That's a resolution from Paul. And in fact, 2 Corinthians 5, there are phrases Paul uses. We make it our life ambition. We make it our ambition to please God. Okay, those are words of resolution. Even in church history, we see great men. Jonathan Edwards, you know, people like Jonathan Edwards who take resolutions. You know, you should, if you want your help with your resolution, you should read the famous 70 resolutions of Jonathan Edwards. It's available online. Just Google it and see. Amazing resolutions, okay, that he's taken. And if I ask me, not only New Year, we Christians are supposed to make resolutions often. When God reveals His will to us and when we understand His will, we'll have to resolve to, you know, fulfill that will. And God shows us some sin in our life, we'll have to resolve to avoid that sin, to overcome that sin. So as we face this year, I want to encourage you to make all the resolutions that you want. Physically, maybe lose weight, not waste your time, right? Cut down your screen time. Spend more time with your family. You know, all those are good, but primarily, like we said, focus on the spiritual resolutions, right? Based on what we read yesterday, review your life, review your prayer life, review your Bible reading. And Pastor James very kindly gifts us a New Year calendar every year. He's made it a practice, and so we distribute it. You will get a copy of that. You can use that. And, you know, it has passages that you can read for every day. Right? And if you just follow, and I was glad so many people WhatsApping yesterday in our church saying, I finished the Bible. In fact, we don't just take their words. They'll have to send a copy of all that ticking. Right? So they were all sending copies yesterday. It's so glad. And, you know, regular family prayer, you know, setting up time for that. And, you know, all those are good resolutions, faithful church attendance. And taking care of our body, which is the temple, and financial stewardship, right? We'll have to manage our finance as good stewards of God, and evangelical witnessing, overcoming that habit, this sin, all those are good resolutions. But we may say, some say, Pastor, I try resolutions every year, but it doesn't seem to be working, right? That's another problem we have. We start with the determination that I'm going to be a new person. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do this. But we see the resolution fizzles away before we start the resolution January 1st. Before we reach Valentine's Day, all the resolutions are gone. We wonder where it has gone. Why? Why do resolutions fail? Okay? I think nothing wrong with taking resolutions. Like I showed, it's biblical. I think everything is wrong in the way we take resolutions. Right? In the way we make resolutions. We try to follow the world method of taking resolutions. And those are bound to fail because of two primary reasons. Because the way world takes resolutions, they rely on a wrong source for strength. And their motive for those resolutions are wrong. Okay, two problems in the world. Firstly, they depend on the wrong source of strength to keep them, fulfill their resolutions. All the world resolutions, what do they rely on? They rely on their soul will power. Right? I'm going to do this. I'm going to quit smoking from what may. Basis what? I am going to do it. This is my will. I quit smoking. I'm going to exercise every day. I'm going to make it. I'm going to leave that habit. But as believers, we know the truth that as fallen creatures, as sinners, our wills are enslaved, right? Are enslaved by sin. And whatever good resolutions that a sinner can take, initially, outwardly, you know, he may artificially try to be different, right? But it's not permanent. And with artificial, it's a legalistic way of controlling yourself. Just like Hindus, you know, when you should see them when they go to that Ayyappa temple and put that mala and all that. Oh, they are so godly. Get up, you know, you would be the worst drunkard, you know. But just to ensure that he doesn't die, he puts that mala and then he's so holy, so godly. And that's some kind of mantra people can do. Sinners have ability to do that, but all that is temporarily, because after some time the real self comes out, right? You can't sustain with that kind of willpower because your will is enslaved to sin, and there cannot be any permanent change relying on your willpower. It can just be a wish list that they have. And as unbeliever, if you are sitting here, this is a great reason for you to come to Christ. And if you're listening online, this is a great reason, because you have no power to change anything. The new year is not going to be anyway new if you don't come to Christ. Right? It is He who makes everything new. Without Him, 2024 will again be, take it from me, is going to be again the same like 2023. 2024, it's going to be boring like all your previous years. Nothing going to be new. Only maybe the January month, only for 15 days, the climate and all that may look new. But nothing is going to change unless you come to Christ. Okay? So that's the first reason. Okay, can we say the believers' resolutions work? Yes, as believers, we are saved. Our wills are freed. Right? Freed from sin. We are enabled by this regeneration to will what is good. That's what the truth tells us. And but until we reach glory, because of remaining sin, even our wills, not like, though it's not like sinners which is enslaved, our wills are weak and they cannot consistently be sustained without divine aid. Okay? Our wills are weak. Our wills are not enslaved like the sinners, but it cannot be sustained. We cannot consistently rely on the willpower without divine aid. But the great blessing for a believer is we can accomplish all our resolutions by the help of the Holy Spirit, on the dependence of the Holy Spirit. It's that benefit is not there for a sinner, right? His will is enslaved. It may temporarily change, but for us, there can be true transformation. We can accomplish true resolutions by the help of the Holy Spirit. That's why that we have scriptures like, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Yes, we can do all things. Yes, all that we resolve, we can do. So a resolution becomes an act of faith for us, where we depend on God, and through the means of that faith, God enables us to keep our resolutions. In fact, you know, the amazing thing that God, do you know that God wants us to help keep all our resolutions? You want a scripture for that? 2 Thessalonians 1:11. To this end, we always pray for you, that our God may make you worthy of His calling, and may fulfill every resolve. Resolve, the same word, resolution, for good. God wants, Paul is praying that He may help you to keep every good resolution you take. So then where is the problem, right? Holy Spirit wants to help and we make the resolutions. Where is the problem? Why are so many resolutions that we have taken is not fulfilled? Right, the first one, we said the source of the resolution. We have to depend on Holy Spirit. The second major problem is the motive. Motive, right? Holy Spirit doesn't provide help for all the wrong motives that we have, even as believers, right? He doesn't provide help for all the resolutions that we take with selfish motives, with the wrong motives. You want to lose weight? Yes, for what? So that you can show off your biceps and your body and your six packs to people. You want to stand as a, you know, people, you can attract people. That's your motive. You want to read the Bible through the year, and for what? You want to, so that you can send WhatsApp messages and show off to people. Wow, people can say, wow, you finished the Bible. So people can clap. Why do you want to do that? What is your motive? You want to achieve that and this, and just trace the motive of every resolution that you have. If Holy Spirit has to help you to fulfill that resolution, I think our motive has to be right. Right? So what is that one motive where Holy Spirit will be willing to help us? So I want to talk a few minutes about the grand and the supreme resolution you and I need to take if we need the Holy Spirit's help. Right? Firstly, we need to understand as believers, though our will is freed, without the Holy Spirit aid, none of our resolutions are going to work. So if we need the Holy Spirit's help, we need to have the right motive. What is that one grand motive from which Holy Spirit will help us to accomplish all our resolutions? You can turn to 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore you eat or drink, whatever you do, whatever resolutions you make, right? It can be as basic as eating and drinking. Can that be godly? Will Holy Spirit help me to control my diet? Will Holy Spirit help me to do, you know, just what can be more basic than eating and drinking? Paul says, whether you eat or drink, and he includes everything else, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Simple, but oh, what life transforming can this motive be to us? You want the grandest motive for your life? You want your life to be raised above the ordinary? And you want to accomplish greater things in 2024? The grand resolutions, the supreme resolutions, one great resolution through which our forefathers have achieved the extraordinary things. Right? Our forefathers, some of the men and some of the biographies that we read, you know, we are amazed, and sometimes we wonder after reading the biography, are we truly Christians? Right? Those men have lived life which has, through which they have left indelible mark in history. We still remember them. What was the motive of their life? What is that grand motto? The reformers called it as Soli Deo Gloria. Glory to God alone. Glory to God alone. The passionate resolution that can gird your soul and my soul and give us superhuman, archangelic strength and help us to rise above the ordinary and rise above our weaknesses and accomplish great things in not only 2024, throughout our life, is this grand motive. This passionate motive that He will be able to help us achieve the impossibles that we never dreamed in our life. Motive that reveals solutions that we have never been able to see otherwise. Right? Motive that can fill your life with God's presence and God's strength. I can guarantee you with scriptural authority, whatever your resolutions, if you have honest motive to glorify God, the whole heaven will stand behind your motive. Don't you want that kind of strength? Right? And let's look at the importance of this motive, right? Corinthians were bickering about all the small, non-essential things. Let's just like we do, okay, should I eat meat, sacrifice to idols, and should I do that, this, and all non-essential things. And Paul raises all that to an higher level and sets before them this grand motive. Grand motive, grand resolutions. He takes the most basic things and says, why are you doing that? Okay, you want to do that? Why you want to do that? You know, even in those basic things, you can have a grand motive. He says, do it all for the glory of God. Now, what is the glory of God? If we can just for a few minutes lift up our thoughts higher and higher and ask the deep question, if God is self-sufficient, if God is not dependent on any creature, God doesn't need heaven, God doesn't need earth, God doesn't get any penny benefit from creating the earth. Do you know that? A God is a self-sufficient God and He lives in the realm of independence. Right? He doesn't depend on anybody. That's the life that God lives. We can contribute nothing to God, whatever we may do. If we are useless, we are non-essentials, why did God create us? Right? That's a valid question we need to ask. And not only, why does God provide for us? Why did God redeem us? What is the purpose of creation? What is the purpose of providence? What is the purpose of redemption? If you ask me, what is the purpose of 2024? If you want to ask today, you may have 101 reasons why you have entered 2024. If you want to ask, why did the provider, creator, gave me 2024? Why has He set a new year before me? You want to know that? Not that you can eat and drink and all that are part of life, but and then get older and say I am 1 year older after 20. That's not the purpose. The purpose for 2024 from God's perspective is that you may glorify Him. Right? That's the grand purpose. Why is it so important for Him? Why it doesn't seem so important to us? Other things are important to us because God in His glorious, amazing, infinite attributes. God is a God of glory. He is so glorious. You know, with all His attributes, He is immense, He is eternal, He is almighty, most wise, most loving. And God, the sum of all the attributes, the perfections of God, is called the glory of God. Right? And He is the most glorious being in the entire universe. Most glorious being. And God's passion, if you ask me, God has a passion. God's greatest passion is to glorify Himself. Glorify His attributes. There's nothing more important for God than glorifying Him. He's so glorious that none of His creatures can handle all His glory at once. Now we will be shattered to pieces if we just know all the glory of God at once. Right? That even the whole heaven sees just the shadow of His glory, but they are uncontrollably burning with zeal and praise. He's too glorious. He's too glorious for us to look at Him, His whole face, at all at once. And so He wants this God who's so glorious, He wants to manifest His glory, His perfect glory. So what did He do? Though He didn't need these creatures, though He didn't need it to create the world, redeem the world, no, He decided to create the world. You know, why? Because just like the sun, we can't look at the sun, right? You know, we can't just directly look at the sunlight. We will lose our sight. But you know, we can use something called as prism. And you know, through that prism, all that concentrated light can come into that prism, and that prism can diffuse the light in different colors. Have you seen that? You know, orange, violet, blue, and all those different colors. That bright light can actually diffuse the light into different colors where we can manage it. We can see those colors. That bright light we can't see. And similarly, what God has done is, as humans, as His creatures, we can never see His glory and exist. So He has used the prism of creation, providence and redemption to diffuse His light so that we can see His glories in various aspects. Okay? And the full glory, maybe the creation, there was a couple of attributes that were shown, how good God is, how powerful God is, that He can create the world in 6 days. And providence, we can see His wisdom. Though in the entire world everybody wants to do their own thing, He uses all those people who want to do against Him and uses them to accomplish His purpose. What wisdom is that? We see His wisdom there, and His full attributes, the sum of all the attributes we see in the gospel. Right? In the scripture. So we see in wisdom in one place, we see His power in one place, we see His holiness in one place, in a way where we can handle it. Right? It's not all dawning on us and shattering us, but here and there we can see His glory. Have we asked, what is the purpose? So this God, the purpose for creation, the purpose for everything that He did, the purpose for world history, the purpose for every act in the Bible, you can trace it to the glory of God. He wants to glorify Himself. And the great document, Shorter Catechism, says, question 1, what is the chief end of man? Man's chief end, this is the answer. Chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Shorter Catechism. And Flavel has a commentary on that catechism. He goes on and digs further on that question. Seeing the chief end, what is the inferior end for which man is made? Right? If there is a chief end, there has to be a secondary end. He says, it is to prudently work, earn, live his life on this earth with his family and other relations and use God's creations prudently, eating and drinking and living. That's the inferior purpose. Okay? Manage everything in this world prudently. Then he goes on and says, what then is to be thought of those who being only intent upon the inferior aim and forget and neglect their chief end? Answer, they are dead while they live. If you are all concentrating about what will I eat, what will I drink, how much I will earn, and what will I take care of family, Flavel says, we live a life which is dead while we are alive. Because we are not living for the chief end for which we were created for. We were created to live for the glory of God. See, we are created for glory of God. And that's why the Bible says, all have sinned. And what? Fallen short of the glory of God. When we don't live for the glory of God, we have sinned and fallen short of the... What is sin? Sin is the failure to live for the glory of God. Right? That's why the wrath of God is coming on this world, because though He has created us for the noble purpose to live for the glory, we become like animals living just for this world. We don't want to live for the glory of God. We are sinning. And that's why the only purpose for creation, for providence, not only for the providence, but even redemption. Redemption. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. You were bought with a price. Imagine the redemption, right? The price that was paid for us in the redemption, the Son of God who became incarnate. We thought about that in Christmas. The eternal Son of God, the pure, holy Son of God, with fully man, His full divinity, continuing to be God, took on a human nature. Fully man, fully God, two natures in one person, without any confusion, without any mixing. And he was born where? He was born in a manger. You know, I was just telling people, you know, have you ever thought why was he born in a manger? Have you ever looked at your heart? Your heart, how is it? Is it a palace or is it a manger with all kind of smell and gutter and lust and covetousness and all that? God as a picture, as a metaphor to the world that he is going to be born and filled with sinners, like all these kind of smelling, dirty, filthy sinners before a holy God. He was born like that. The price that he paid for redemption, he had to be born in the sinful world, the pure Son of God. And the price that he paid in Gethsemane with sweat, blood, the price he paid in the Gabbatha with all the stripes, the price that he paid in Golgotha, crying out, my God, why did you forsake me? Why did Christ have to go through all that? What was the purpose for all that? Pray that he had to buy you so that you and I can live for the great grand theme of the glory of God. You were bought with a price. Therefore, why were we bought with a price? Why did Christ suffer so much and redeem us? That we may live for the glory of God, right? So Paul says, reflect the marvelous glory of this radiant, beautiful, brilliant God who's so glorious, and your purpose is to reflect His glory, the splendor of His attributes in every aspect of your life, right? So when we face 2023, there are 101 things that will pull you in that direction, pull you in this direction. What is one guiding principle for us? In our decisions, in our choices, in our conversations, in our words, the kind of words that we are going to use. What is one guiding principle, one grand supreme motto? Will this glorify God? Right? Will this glorify God? This must be a guiding principle. This can include, you can include all your resolutions in this. Think about it. In this grand resolution. It's not like a success mantra, but if you have this as a true motto, think about it. Children, if you want to study and become, achieve something, you want to prove yourself and achieve something in the world, why do you want to do it? So that you can show off that you are something. Right? You are nobody, that you are somebody? No. I want to glorify God. Think about it, right? That motive, not only a piddly achievement that you can see and you can put in your status and Instagram and say, I've achieved this and I've got this medal. No. You will leave a mark, indelible mark in the history. That's what this motive can empower you. This motive can fill your soul with so much of fire and energy that you will be able to achieve super abandoned things, superhuman things. That's what this motive can do for us. Okay, you want to get a promotion? You want to earn more? You want to make more money? Why? So that you can become rich and show off to your relatives, show off that you are a rich person. No. So that I want to glorify God. I want to expand His kingdom. I want to earn and expand His kingdom. Look at that. You want to clear my debt. I want my family to be godly. I want my family to be loving. I want my children to be saved. Why? Soli Deo Glory. Soli Deo Gloria. To God alone be glory. We can kind of subsume all our secondary goals into this grand motto. Just imagine that, right? My manifesto, my motto, my resolution, my drive for 2024. Oh God, give me grace. Right? I make resolutions, but I end up failing them. Every time I end up failing them, I come to Leviticus and my Bible reading goes for a toss. Right? And my prayer life goes for a toss. My being loving to my wife goes for a toss when my patience is tested, because my will, yes, it wants to do good, but it needs divine aid. And that divine aid is only provided when our motives are right, when it is for the glory of God, right? Holy Spirit and the whole heaven backs our motives. So, do you see the importance of this? We call ourselves Reform. We call ourselves Calvinist. The great theologian B.B. Warfel said, you know what is a Calvinist? A Calvinist is someone who's consumed with a passion for the glory of God. That's the definition of a Calvinist. right? All these Lutherans are worried about my own salvation, my own worried Lutheran, you know, Luther. He was worried about his own self, his own conscience and what, you know, how I'm feeling and all that. You know, that's what the method of people. And Armenians worried about their own life, their own salvation, their going to heaven or heaven. These were the Calvinists who taught the world more than your salvation, more than your life, more than how you feel. The glory of God is supreme. Right? Even if the entire universe, everybody goes to hell, and if we can glorify God, may He be glorified. That's the perspective that Calvinists gave to this world. That's more than important. You know, if then God can get glory, and Calvinist, somebody like an Isaiah, who's seen the depravity of his soul and who's been awed by the glory of God, awed by the glory of God, and he decided to live for the one purpose, to reflect the glory of God in this dark world. So nothing more important. If our life has to rise, if 2024, our life has to rise above the normal job going, earning, housekeeping, family, all that, and achieve something in this generation that's going to be extraordinary. If we have to rise above the ordinary, I think this is a great motive for us, right? Great motive. So the importance of the glory of God, the importance of this motive, and the necessity of this motive. I hope you can understand the importance I was trying to emphasize. Let's look at this necessity of this motive. Let me tell you how necessary this is. Because without this, you can make 101 resolutions. Let me predict. There are preachers who predict what's going to happen 2024, right? Dinakar and all these guys come and predict all the generic things, but nothing happens. They never predict anything specific. Very funny. But let me predict one specific thing. If you don't have this as your motive, all your resolutions will fail. Right? And you will end up having another empty, ordinary year. It's not going to be fruitful. It's not going to be anything special. You know why James says, when you ask, God is the God of generous God. He wants to give. You don't have wisdom, He will give you. Ask. But when you ask, you don't get it. Why? Because your motives are all wrong. Why do you ask? You want to spend it on your pleasures. You want to spend it on your lust. You want to show off. Your motive is wrong. God is very generous, you know. Somebody, you know, some child, he wants to pray for years, he's praying, God save me, give me the salvation experience, I want to be saved. So what? You can show off that you are a born again Christian. You know, yes, people can have that motive. You know, I am saved now, I am born again now. And you know, there are parents who pray for their children's conversion. Why? So that tomorrow you can show off, see how I brought my children, oh, your children are horrible. So then you can take pride on that. Look at your motives. Is your motive purely, solely, Deo Gloria? To God alone be glory. I have nothing to do with it. All glory goes to Him. Your prayer for promotion, your prayer for any kind of things, prayer for salvation. You don't get it. Why? Your motive is wrong. You want to satisfy your selfish pleasures. Oh, if our only motive can be wrong, definitely there will be showers of blessing in 2024. Showers of blessing. And let me give you another passage. I think we all know this. Matthew 6:33. Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And what does He say? If you rise above your ordinary, rise above your that thing and this thing, eating and drinking, and seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness first. What does He say? Promise. All these things will be added to you. All that you're seeking, all these piddly things. You know, the gold and silver is mine. I am the sovereign God. I will take care of that. The fundamental principle of the kingdom is, if you aim the glory of God, God will aim at your best good. One of the Puritan, I think he said it wonderfully. If you make the glory of God, if we make the glory of God our great concern, God will make our comfort His great concern. Right? If we make the glory of God our great concern, you don't make the glory of God great concern so that you can get the benefits, right? We are always selfish. That's our main aim. But the one flows from the other. That's what Jesus meant, right? Everything that you need in your marriage, everything that you need in your education, your career, your family, your school, your college, will be supplied to you. What a promise is that? Not only 2024, but our whole life. Like I said, we can leave a mark in this age, in this generation. There is a testimony of David Livingstone, great missionary. He lived such life and such accomplishment in his life. This whole nation wanted to honor him when he died. Right? So they gave him that grand, everybody doesn't get that, the Westminster Abbey funeral. He was kept in that state funeral and there were millions of people who just wanted to have a glance at his casket. There were thousands of people walking and just want to see, and he was being sent, and the man died in his 60s, and there was one old man with an old shabby dress and he looked like a beggar. And he was coming and he was repeatedly saying to himself, Devi, you were right. Devi, you were right. Devi, you were right. And there was another man who was beside him and he was curious. What are you saying, Devi, you were right? And that time he said, see, I and David Livingstone went to the same Sunday school when we were small kids. Okay? When we were small kids. And that time David told me that, see, if you want to achieve something in life, all the youth passions that we want to achieve something, we want to do something. And if you want to achieve something in your life, you have to live for the glory of God. We had a long debate. We in fact started fighting. And I said, no, if you go after glory of God, who's going to take care of your dreams? Who's going to take care of your things, right? And we have to work for our good. We have to serve our life, our interests. And we fought and we said, I parted with him. I said, I'm not going to come to Sunday school now onwards, you know. And I went off, right? But here I am after so many years. I went into after the world. I became rich. I earned a lot of money. But, you know, my family, you know, my children grew up to be ungodly children. And they cheated me. They took all the money and they left me in the road. Now all that I earned and made came to nothing. My name is gone. My life is gone and I'm about to die in few years, and here I am looking like a beggar. And here is David Livingstone, who lived for the glory of God. The history will not forget him. Right? Biographies will be written about him. We all studied in the same school. And this thing differentiated us. He went after the glory of God. I went after my selfish interest. This is true. Young people and others, you truly want to prosper in life, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Make this your resolution this morning, by the grace of God, by the strength of God, that you will do everything for the glory of God. Yes. Yes, glory of God sometimes requires self-denial. We'll have to sometimes go against our selfish, fleshly desires. But to live for the glory of God is the path for true happiness. Right? All that fleshly desires that God tells us to deny will only bring shame and lifelong guilt. Right? So, you want to be happy, you want to have fulfillment, true satisfaction. Somebody said it's impossible to live to God's glory and not have a blessed life. It's impossible. And it's at the same time, it's impossible not to live for the God's glory and have a blessed life. You can't have a blessed life without living for the glory of God. So as you see 2024, don't listen to the devil. Don't listen to the world. If you want to live for the glory of God, you will be miserable. You will not have the fun. You will not have the joy. You will not have the opposite is true. Devil is cheating you. Nothing so exciting, exhilarating, so fulfilling and so challenging than to live for the glory of God. Right? Everyone needs to have this resolution, whether it is young people, mothers and fathers. I read about a story where it says the mothers who rock the cradle rule the world. Because the force of a mother on her children is very, very powerful. Right? Very, very powerful. And somebody was doing a study and tracing all the great men who have stood out in that generation and did something for the glory of God. They all ended up having godly mothers as example. Right? That's a great example, right? So as mothers, you should, your children should see the passion that you live for the glory of God. As fathers, we should ensure that our house, how we fail in our responsibilities, right? My house will stand for the glory of God. I and my family will serve the Lord. We should serve for the glory of God. So that is the motive I want to set before you as you begin 2024. Oh, may this motive be a burning passion in us. Then, okay, that's the motive. So let's look at how do we plan for this motive. Right? How do we plan to live? What is our planning for 2024? See, unless we plan something, we'll not be able to accomplish. Isn't it? And we have a very wrong idea of planning. We think planning is all worldly and all that, right? Many of us don't achieve anything in life because we don't plan. I think New Year is a time to plan. Plan, right? Somebody said 1 minute of planning will save 10 minutes of your life. 1 minute of planning, 10 minutes of your life going, wasting and trying to figure out what to do. When you have a plan, you know what to do. Right? So we learn from God that God is an order, God of order. He plans everything. All the words that you see in the Bible, His decrees, His purposes, His plans, indicate that God plans everything. Right? He created us in His image to plan, and as sinful being, it is the nature of sin that hates orderliness. It hates planning. There is an aversion to planning. There are two kinds of lifestyle you can live in 2024. One is a firefighting lifestyle. It's a knee-jerk reaction, reactive lifestyle. You get carried away through all the circumstances. You become a victim of circumstances. Right? You just go on with the life, whatever day brings, and just live that life. And it's a firefighting life. And none of the great things gets accomplished by such a life. You want to accomplish something? You plan. You live with proactive discernment. Right? This is what, you know, you don't allow yourself to be driven away by circumstances, but you control the circumstances to accomplish your plan. Right? So you need to plan. Very important, you need to plan. You will never achieve anything without a goal. And I was wondering, you know, when our company, before they start a year, they will go for a retreat for 1 week. Okay, I thought, what a waste of time. But it's all a planning week. And most of the successful companies do that. They plan the year. Okay, they take time to plan. So can I encourage you this year, before you begin the year, plan your year. Plan your year, make a plan, make a short-term plan, make a long-term plan. What are you going to do? What are you going to meditate? Which are the checkpoints for you? Make a 3-monthly once review for your plans. Just like God, think about God. What did He do? He wanted to manifest His glory, right? He wanted to manifest His glory. What did He do? He planned. No, we have something called as decree of God, which is nothing but the plan of God. He planned creation. He planned providence. He planned redemption so that He can manifest His glory. He can manifest all the glories. Personally, you and I can glorify God. Oh, not just by saying, glory to God. Glory. You know, you've seen pastors. Oh, I've seen pastors who always say, glory to God. Glory to God. And just blabbering. You know, you keep blabbering, God will get glorified. No, we need to manifest the glory of God in every aspect of our life. And we need to plan for that, right? If God is loving, right, how am I going to manifest that kind of God's attribute in my life? Every day when I wake up, I will manifest God's love in the way I relate to people. Right? Why am I loving people? Because I want to manifest, I want to glorify the God of love. If God is good, I will not be like the world, which is always cribbing and bitter and frowning and, you know, always discontent, and every day they wake up with a grumbling. No, I will be a joyful person to show that God is good. Right? In every aspect of our life, we can manifest that God is a creator, God is a provider, God is a redeemer. So we thank Him every day. We are with a thankful heart because we want to manifest the glory of God. Think about it. Like that, you can manifest every aspect of our God. God is holy. You can manifest that glory of God by taking sin seriously in your life. Right? We will not have the low views of sin that the world has and gives all kinds of nice sweet names for sin. No, we will have strong views about sin. And we will as far as possible, try to be holy with the strength of God, avoid sin in every way, and mourn and repent for sin when we commit sin. That's living for the glory of God, manifesting the glory of God, attributes of God. And think about it, every area in your family you can manifest the glory of God. Right? The way we relate to wife, mundane thing. The way we relate to our wives. Bible says, husbands, love your wives just like Christ loved the church. Right? The world can know, how do you relate to your wife like that? You know, how? Because I want to glorify God by the way I relate to my wife. Right? And as wives, the way you submit to your husband, you know, in the world of feminism and rebellious women and all kinds of back and forth fighting women, I will manifest the glory of God by submitting to my husband and manifest the order of creation by that. So in every area, and Bible also talks about the work life. We can adorn the gospel by the kind of work we do. Right? So I can go on and tell you all those areas we can reflect the right light of the gospel, and we can reflect the glory of God, and all that doesn't happen just like that. Okay? So if we are to live that kind of life, we need to plan our life. Let me give you some suggestions. Plan your private devotions. Plan your private. Set a time. Okay? Buy a diary, or if somebody gives a diary, use that. Set a time. Never, you know, the daily prayer and meditating on God's word becomes essential thing that you need to do. If you want to just eat, drink and just live a life, then you know you can ignore that. That becomes a secondary thing. But when you want to live for the glory of God, right? You want to have private devotions. You want to use the means of grace where you are energized, where you are motivated to live like that. So reading, plan for your private devotions, daily prayer and daily reading. Set a time and don't miss that. And just like I said, we will distribute the Bible reading calendar. Use that and ensure that the benefits of Bible reading, regular, consistent, systematic Bible reading, I don't have to tell you, it has great benefits and blessing. Reading books. I was amazed how many advertisements I see nowadays in YouTube. Skip ads, right? Have you read this book? Have you read this book? And you know, there are quotes that we see. All highly successful people's habit. All highly successful people's habit is reading one book per week. You know that? You can just go and Google it. Every CEO reads one book every week. That's where they become CEOs. Do you know that? And Bill Gates shared that he reads about 50 books a year. And he says, you can achieve the life of your dreams 20 times faster than you normally would if you make reading your priority. Reading your priority. Now the worldly people are realizing, but scripture has been saying from the beginning, successful man is somebody who reads. Right? Reads what exercise does to our body, how it increases our stamina, our agility, our sharpness. That's what reading does to our mind. Right? So reading, ability to smartly choose and think, and ability to discern things. Life is nothing but choices, right? Choices we make. Every morning the choices, the kind of dress we want to wear, the kind of color, the things that we want to... Life is nothing but choices that we make, and we need to have the discernment to make the best choice. And that comes from sharp mind, right? So decide what books that you're going to read. Plan all that. When you plan for your family prayer, plan how you're going to spend time, right? Plan how you're going to increase in the knowledge of truth. Probably if 1689 is too heavy for you, you can look at shorter catechism. It's a wonderful way, and I want to recommend Flavel's shorter catechism to you. Very easy, you know, when you're sitting in a family prayer, you know, it all sometimes becomes a monologue you keep saying, and your wife and children are going to sleep, and then you want to wrap it up very soon. Why don't you make it a question and answer? I will ask a question, you answer. I know the answer, but I'll tell you after listening to you. Then it becomes very interactive, right? And Flavel's is a very good one, you know. He kind of takes a question and digs and covers all aspects. And after you finish that 103 questions, you become a mini theologian, right? Try that. And plan how you're going to get energy. You need energy for all that, right? Plan exercise, plan diet, spend time out. Also plan your vacations. Bible knows, somebody said, even I believe the exercise, good nutrition, good night's sleep and vacation are all forms of worship when done for the sole purpose of being able to give a best to God. Right? Recreation. Sometimes, you know, we need recreation. We need to plan that. And the problem is we need to know the limit, know the moderation, right? And the balance. So all these are some of my suggestions. May God help you as you begin 2024, this grand motto. All the resolutions you subsume under this one grand, big, supreme resolutions. Why do you want to do this? I want to glorify God by this. I want to glorify God and plan your 2024. May God make this a blessed year. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for helping us with some thoughts.